Well, dear hearts, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge and as part of our radio congregation. Let me run a couple of things by you to prepare your heart for where we're going to go in this message that we're going to look at in a few moments. We've entitled it The Prayer of Jesus for Believers. Do you understand that Christ Jesus prayed for you? You individually? As a believer priest? Yes. He was hours from the cross, just hours from the cross. But he was making intercessory prayer for those of us who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. And Satan does everything he can to confuse the issue. Satan does everything he can to discourage. But understand this. When Jesus said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Once you start practicing that, submitting and surrendering moment by moment, day by day, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And it is, folks. It's a moment-by-moment, day-by-day experience for the believer for a lifetime. Did you hear me? That is a moment-by-moment experience in the lifetime of a believer for a lifetime. That is bringing every thought captive to Christ, because Satan is going to try to crowd your mind with those things that will discourage you. He's going to try to do everything he can to make you doubt the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, and the Word of God. And you've got to get up every morning of the world, submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, putting on the whole armor of God, and thereby being ready to go out and face the day. Understand this. Bear in mind that sanctification, which every believer is involved in, each and every one of us who have been born again are involved in the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Why complicate it? Why complicate how sinful man is reconciled to holy God? Number one, we simply believe. We confess that we're sinners. We confess to the Lord Jesus Christ that we believe that he is who the Word of God says he is, that we believe that he is who he said he was, that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And his is the only name given unto heaven whereby sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. So every morning in the world, get up, affirming your position in Christ Jesus, acknowledging and recognizing his love for you, acknowledging and recognizing his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. But on that cross, he took upon himself each and every sin you have ever confessed. And he put that sin to death in himself. You see, God forgives sin on the basis of that sin having been put to death in Christ Jesus. Because on that cross, Christ took upon himself the sins of all who would believe and receive. I don't pray to a dead Lord and Savior, nor do I live to please a dead Lord and Savior. No, I live to please, submit to, and surrender to the living Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of the world, I can say to him, thank you, Lord, for your resurrection, for your ascension back to glory, and your return to glory, and your return to earth at some time in the future. But at the moment, I can acknowledge that you are seated at the right hand of God the Father, willing to receive my prayers, my request, and willing to intercede for me, for the Father. And for that, I want to thank you. So all of that's involved in today's message because, once again, today's message is the prayer of Jesus. He was facing death. He was hours from the cross. And yet he was praying for believers. He was praying for those of us who would believe and receive him as Lord and Savior. That, my friend, is an encouraging way to start the day out every day, understanding that he has already prayed for you. He has taken you before the throne of God the Father in intercessory prayer. Father God, I want to thank you that you hear and answer prayer. And I want to thank you that you heard the prayer of Jesus as he prayed for all who would believe. I want to thank you that you hear and answer prayer. And now, Father, I'm going to ask you to give those who are involved in this time together today ears to hear, a heart to believe, a heart to receive. All that Christ Jesus did on that cross in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and all that he prayed in that prayer that he prayed as he was facing the cross. So, Father, if you'll do this, we'll be appreciative and give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, now get your Bible, and let's get into today's message. Let's go before the throne of God together in the Word of God, and let's see what the Word of God may say to each of us today. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 17. In this message, I intend to finish up 17 so that we can proceed on. But in John chapter 17, Jesus is completing a prayer. He's had his last meal with his disciples. He has been giving them some last words. And he then began to pray for them. In this session, he is closing his prayer with them. So now we're going to join him in that prayer time in John chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Listen carefully. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What he's saying is, Father, I want my disciples that you gave me to be with me. I'm a disciple of his. Are you a disciple of his? Born again? A disciple of his? You see, all who have been born again are a gift from God the Father to Christ Jesus, the Son, the Savior, the Redeemer. So Jesus is saying to the Father, I want them, meaning those of us who've been born again, those of us who've been adopted into the family of God, I want them to join me in my glory. For you loved me, he goes on, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Trinity in eternity past. Slow down and listen to me. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in eternity past, planning, creating, with absolute knowledge. Did you hear me? This is before anything was created. That was created. They were planning creation with absolute knowledge. They were planning every expression of life of whatever kind. Understanding this, they had total, complete foreknowledge of all of mankind. He knew from eternity past. Listen to me carefully. This is so important. He knew from eternity past who would believe and receive the Messiah. He knew that. He knew who would believe and who would receive the Messiah. And as a result of having believed and received the Messiah, be adopted into the family of God when they were born again. Understand very carefully. He knew from before the creation of anything who would believe and receive the Messiah and be adopted into the family of God when they were born again, with complete, total foreknowledge of all who would not believe. You see, he knew every individual ever born who would believe. He also knew every individual ever born who would not believe. But understand this, and this is so important. I think this is a biblical truth that many do not understand. Salvation, adoption into the family of God, is open to all. Did you hear me? Salvation, adoption into the family of God, at which time the sins are forgiven. Every sin of every type is forgiven. When one is born again, receive salvation, adopted into the family of God, and understand this, the body of Christ is made up of ex-sinners. We were all sinners, and we still sin, even though we've been adopted into the family of God. Yes, we still sin. The Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But praise God, as sinners, we have been adopted into the family of God when we believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Not because of our involvement in some expression of religious life. Not because of our involvement in some religious activities. But when we reached that point in time, when we could say to the Father, when we could say to God the Father, I am a sinner, and I want to be born again. I believe, I want to believe. I'm asking for the ability, the anointing to believe. You see, once you reach that point, when you recognize yourself as a sinner, and that knowing that if you died in that condition, you would go to hell, and you come to God simply saying, I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. What does the Word of God say? Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to it carefully. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, regardless of their sinful, wicked past. Did you hear me? The whosoever's, regardless of their sinful, wicked past. God made the promise to whosoever, knowing who the whosoever's would be. Did you catch that? God made that promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God made that promise to the whosoever's, and he knew who the whosoever's would be. And that's when Satan got busy. Oh, he's always been busy. But Satan therefore busied himself establishing, listen to me carefully. Your eternal soul is hanging on this. Your eternity is hanging on this. Listen to me carefully. Satan got busy establishing false systems of religion in order to pervert God's simple plan of salvation. God's simple plan of salvation is not complicated. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess you're a sinner. Go before his throne saying, Lord God, I'm a sinner. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into your family. I want to be a child of God. And then you'll be adopted. But you see, We have multitudes, I mean multitudes, in the nations of the world involved in those false systems of religion. And the nations of the world are full of false systems of religion. Jesus foretold this in Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. The world of unredeemed mankind, those not born again, world full of unredeemed mankind, those not born again, multitudes, listen to me carefully, multitudes religiously deceived. Religiously deceived, involved in false systems of religion, misrepresenting what it means to be born again. Did you hear me? The world is full of unredeemed mankind, those not born again, and yet religious. We have multitudes of those who are religiously deceived, involved with false systems of religion, misrepresenting what it means to be born again. And for that reason, multitudes have not believed and received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Religious? Yes. Involved in religious activity? Yes. And yet, not born again. One heartbeat from hell in all of their religious activity. Stop and think about what I'm saying. Paul the Apostle was a part of the religious system, the Pharisees. You had whole systems of religion then. Pharisees, Sadducees, whole systems of religion. The Essenes, people who were putting all their faith, hope, and confidence for immortality, for an eternity in heaven, in a false system of religion. Christ Jesus is Lord and Savior, and He is the only means by which sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. False system of religion misrepresent what it means to be born again. And because of that, we have multitudes, I say again, we have multitudes who have not believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:25, Jesus goes on praying, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. He says to the Father in his prayer time, I have known you. Do you realize he has known the Father throughout all of eternity? He knew the Father from before creation. Yes, why? Because he is a part of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that has existed from eternity past before creation. He existed with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit before creation. Once again, he goes on, I have known you. That means throughout all of eternity, from eternity past, Father, I have known you. And then he goes on, and these have known that you sent me. You see, they were willing to believe and receive. Those willing to be willing to believe and receive Christ are candidates for salvation, are candidates to be adopted into the family of God, are candidates to be believer priests, are candidates for an eternity with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in glory. Let me ask you this. Are you one of those? Now listen to me. Can you look yourself straight in the mirror and know that you are one of those the Father has given to the Son? Can you? Can you look yourself straight in the mirror and say, I am one of those that the Father has given to the Son? Someone says, well, I'm not sure, Bob. I'm involved in church. I'm involved in religious activity. You may even hold a position within the church. But the question is this, are you one of those that the Father has given to the Son? Listen very carefully once again to what Jesus is praying. I have known you throughout all of eternity. The world has not known you, but I have known you, and those have known that you sent me. I have known you throughout all of eternity, and these have known that you sent me. Those willing to believe and receive. I'm going to ask you again because your eternal soul hangs on this. Are you one of those the Father has given to the Son? Once again, someone says, Bob, I'm not sure. I'm not really convinced. I'm involved in religious activity. I'm involved in church. But I don't know that I know that I know that I'm born again. Before I leave the air today, we can solve that issue. Listen to me. Before we leave the air today, before I leave the air today, we can settle that issue. Once again, Jesus continues praying in verse 26. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Folks, listen to me. Who among all the pulpits in the nations of the world, regardless of the degrees, types of degrees, and source of the degrees, who among all the pulpits in the nations of the world can really describe and explain the love of God for mankind? I have openly admitted to the Lord, it's so big. Father, how can I grasp it? And I say once again, regardless of the degrees that we've received, regardless of the types of degrees that have been received, or regardless of the source of the degrees, who can really describe and explain the love of God for mankind? I haven't found anybody yet that can do that. We all do the best we can trying to explain it, but none of us can really fully describe it for all that it is. God becoming flesh, calling himself Jesus of Nazareth. Hear me carefully. God becoming flesh. God taking on humanity. God in his humanity putting himself in a position to be tempted in all points as we are. You say, Bob, you don't know where I've been tempted. Well, you don't know where I've been tempted either, do you? But Christ Jesus became God in the flesh so that he could be tempted in all points as we are and yet not sin. And so that he could ultimately become the one willing, sinless blood sacrifice that God the Father would accept for people like me and people like you. He never once gave in to temptation. Jesus, God in the flesh, was tempted. The Word of God tells us that he was tempted in all points like we are and yet without sin. Tempted in all points? Bob, are you saying to me that Jesus was tempted with the same things I have been tempted with and that I am tempted with? No, God is saying that to you. The Word of God says he was tempted in all points like we are and yet without sin. But understand our temptations. You have to understand the sinful weakness we were born with. We were all born with a sin nature. And we were all born subject to the sins of the fathers. And that is a controversial and a deep area of doctrine. I understand that. I have read it. I've looked at it. I've prayed it. I've studied it. And I'm positionalized on it. You have to understand this. You need to understand the impact and effects of the sins in the bloodline. We need to understand the impact and the effects of the sins in our ancestral bloodline. Understand this. Understand the advantage that Satan gained through the sins of our ancestors. Do you realize what I'm saying to you? Do you realize that Satan gained access to bloodlines through the sins of the ancestors? Gained access to bloodlines through the sins of the ancestors. Well, come with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and let me help you better understand that. The Word of God says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them," talking about false gods, "you shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, the sins, of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Let me read that to you again very carefully. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Speaking of false gods, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Understand that verse this way. Our forefathers, our ancestors, in their willingness to sin, and the sins that they sinned, opened the doors to that bloodline, to unclean spirits, to enter that bloodline, and then to pass from generation and generation to generation until someone in that bloodline understands this biblical truth, draws a line in the sand, and says it stops here. I've mentioned this before in recent days. I'm going to mention it again. Clark Whitten. Clark Whitten had to come to grips with that spiritual truth. Clark was in our church. He told us about his experience in that respect, how he came from a bloodline of alcoholics, one after the other. But he determined, "I'm not going to be an alcoholic." And he went to war. He got into the scriptures. He understood the sins of the fathers. He understood the sins in the generational bloodline. And he went to war. And he got the victory. Now you have that same truth explained in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. "The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation." Have to understand it this way. We are not held responsible for the sins of the fathers. We are not held responsible for the sins of our ancestors, but Satan gained access to the bloodline. And until someone in that bloodline understands this spiritual reality and makes a stand on the Word of God and under the anointing and the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God stands against every foul spirit out of hell that has gained access to the bloodline and gained access to them through the bloodline. A spiritual reality that much of the church does not understand. Folks, I'm telling you, so many of our people are walking in defeat because they do not understand this spiritual reality, this doctrinal reality. Much of the church tries to ignore it. Many pulpits try to ignore it. They try to ignore it. You see, once demons gain access to a bloodline, they often remain in that bloodline, influencing and affecting generations. Did you hear me? Once demons gain access to a bloodline, and they manifest themselves sometimes in alcoholism. Well, they manifest themselves in the inordinate number of expressions of sin. They manifest themselves in any number of ways of sin. They often remain in the bloodline, influencing and affecting generations for generations. Once they gain access, to a bloodline, they often remain in that bloodline, influencing and affecting generations. I think we can all agree on this point. Are you ready? Let's agree on this, shall we? We were born with a sin nature. According to Scripture, we were born with a sin nature. Now, a question that must be considered is, what kind of unclean spirits? We're talking about demons. What kind of unclean spirits, demons, if any, gain access through our bloodline? Each of us individually have to take a long, strong look, if we can do so, at our bloodline and see what was operating in our bloodline that was totally ungodly, whatever that manifestation of sin was, whatever that sinful stronghold was. We need to take a long, strong look. Now you say, well, Bob, I don't know that much about my bloodline. Well, you can go before the throne and you can say, Father, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, I renounce and rebuke every work of Satan that ever gained access to me through my ancestral bloodline. Pray that. Heavenly Father, I come before your throne in the name of Jesus, and I take authority over every unclean spirit that has gained access to me through my bloodline. You know, interesting enough, alcoholism is recognized medically as a genetic condition. It's recognized by the medical community. Alcoholism is recognized medically as a genetic condition. Let me read you this. Quote, many scientific studies, including research conducted among twins and children of alcoholics, have shown that genetic factors influence alcoholism. These findings show that children of alcoholics are about 4 times more likely than the general population to develop alcohol problems. In other words, it's in the bloodline. Alcoholism is in the bloodline. Well, let me ask you this. If we're going to apply alcoholism to the bloodline, can we not apply lust and different expressions of lust to the bloodline? Can we not openly, honestly, consider heterosexuality as well as homosexuality being in the bloodline? Can we not consider the fact that if we come from a bloodline in which the fathers or the mothers cheated on their mate and had sex outside of marriage with people with whom they were not married to, did not that open the door to demonic invasion into that bloodline? Cannot that spiritual principle apply to any number of emotional, spiritual disorders that mankind suffered from? What are we talking about? We're talking about our ancestors violating the word of God as an act of their will, surrendering themselves and submitting themselves to the influence of unclean spirits, we call them demons, and getting involved in demonic activity, getting involved in ungodly activity as they were energized by unclean spirits to do so. You have to understand, if it's rooted, notice I say, if it's rooted in the spiritual realm, healing, deliverance, and freedom can only be found in Christ Jesus. There's not a drug on the market. There's not a medical protocol that can be used to set you free. Listen to me carefully, because I'm talking to people today. Some of you in bondage and you will not acknowledge your bondage. Some of you in bondage, you will not recognize the bondage. Some of you do not want to face the bondage that you're in. But understand this. That spiritual principle applies to any number the sins of the fathers. The fact that Satan gains access to a bloodline and that unclean spirits, we call them demons, gain access to that bloodline and remain in that bloodline until someone, as did Clark Whitten, understands the reality of that in the bloodline and goes to war against it. And folks, the battle is not won necessarily overnight. Sometimes it's a prolonged battle. But you see, what we're talking about, demonic influence in the life. If it's rooted, you see, that is rooted in the spiritual realm. Healing and deliverance and freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is not a medical protocol known to man that will heal that problem, because it's in the spirit realm. It's not in the physical realm only or the emotional realm only. It's in the spirit realm. It has to be treated by the Holy Spirit of God. If that thing is rooted in the spirit realm, healing, deliverance, and freedom can only be found in Christ Jesus. And I'm a firm believer. I make no bones about it because I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. I am a firm believer in spirit-enabled, spirit-empowered self-deliverance. I'm a firm believer in spirit-enabled, spirit-empowered self-deliverance. How's it done? Recognize the presence of the condition in the life. What is it? Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it drugs? Is it profanity? Is it alcoholism? The list goes on and on and on. You identify those areas of your life that you know are ungodly, unholy, and yet they're in your life. They have a stronghold in your life. You have to know your position in Christ Jesus. You have to know your position in Christ Jesus. And in your position in Christ Jesus, you have to address the issue of any evil spirits connected to that condition in your life that you know you're dealing with. And folks, let's be honest. Many of the people of God are dealing with issues they won't discuss with anybody. And many of them won't even take it before the Lord. Many won't even discuss it with God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. They won't discuss it. They try to ignore Him. They try to pretend it's not reality in their lives. And yet they know way down deep inside it is reality in the life. Liberty and freedom may not come overnight in the first session or two. Have to understand this. Once you recognize, and folks, this can be a lifelong process. Listen to me. This can be a lifelong process because it's like peeling off layer after layer after layer of ungodly influence in the life. And how much of the church does not understand that what they are experiencing day after day is the ungodly influence of ungodly spirits, demons in the life. And some of them, those unclean spirits gain access to that individual through the bloodline, through the sins of the fathers. And then others can gain access through the sinful actions of the one that they're inhabiting. But you have to understand this. Liberty and freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. No amount of counseling in the world will get it done. There's not a medication on the market that will get it done. No. Liberty and freedom can only be accomplished in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that liberty and that freedom may not come overnight. And it may not come in the first session or two that you're in this battle. But stay at it. Stay at it. I'm talking to people that you know you have a lust problem. Others have a profane problem. Others have an anger problem. Some a drug problem. Some an alcohol problem. Take it before the throne of God and confess the sin as sin, and then address every foul spirit out of hell that is connected to that expression of that sin in your life. Take it before the throne of God and name it. Name it. Rebuke that lying spirit. Rebuke that spirit of adultery, that spirit of fornication, that spirit of immorality, that spirit of sodomy. Whatever it may be, rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Go before the throne of God day after day, week after week, until you know you got liberty. You got freedom. Stay at it. Stay at it until you recognize freedom and release in that area of your life. Then you can move on into the next area. Once you get victory in that area, now you can move on to the next area in which you need cleansing and freedom. And folks, why don't we just be honest with ourselves? We've all been there, or we are there, and we're coming through that. It's a process. What do you think sanctification is? When you were born again, yes, you were born again. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. You were adopted into the family of God. Yes, you were born again. But you have to understand this. Now becomes discipleship. You come through, as I've told you time after time, you come through 5 to 6 different levels of sanctification. We're talking about progressive sanctification. You came into the kingdom of God out of the kingdom of darkness, and you brought with you baggage. Oh, my soul, we brought baggage with us in our emotional makeup. Any number of ways, we brought baggage into the kingdom of God with us. And it's a lifelong process of becoming, are you listening to me? Slow down. Take hope in this. It's a lifelong process of becoming increasingly Christ-like. It's a lifelong process of becoming increasingly Christ-like. And you become increasingly Christ-like as you become less like Satan. And you become less like Satan when you get victory over all the unclean spirits that have gained access into your life, either through your bloodline or through your own involvement in sins of one type or another. I've been as open and as honest with you as I know how to be. I've lived a great deal of this. I've dealt with this in other people. I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God. May God the Father prepare you for the task. Are you willing to be prepared for the task? Are you willing? Are you willing to be prepared day after day after day to confront that which is of Satan that is in your life? To confront that which is influencing your life, controlling your life, until you get victory. It's battle. It's warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. And each and every believer is involved in that process of wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. We wrestle against unclean spirits of different strengths, of different types. And I'm talking to some today. You are involved in actions and activities and attitudes that you know are not Christ-like. You know they're not of you. Well, where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? The sins of the fathers. And then we give ground ourselves. We give ground ourselves in our disobedience to the Word of God. The Word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. I came into the ministry. I didn't understand any of this. And God not only had to put me through this course, layer by layer, bit by bit, but he introduced me to people who had some understanding on this. He introduced me to some people who had some understanding on these things. People of letters, people with background, people of proven testimony, a proven walk with the Lord. Men and women who understood. They were not seeking acknowledgement, but they came through the process themselves. And they had gained victory. And then others just had deeper, deeper understanding of the scriptures that I didn't have. I was in the process of learning. But I can find it in the scripture. I just shared with you today. I've shared with you some of the scriptures that let you know, that put you on notice, that it's warfare. It's warfare. And you, as a born again, one born again as a believer priest, you are not immune. And you need to look carefully at your life and examine everything in your life, action-wise, attitude-wise, reaction, response-wise, that you know is ungodly, unholy, and go to war with it and get victory over it. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you to take the message and use it to the degree that you will, in the lives of all that you will, to encourage them and strengthen them and give them victory in the battles they're fighting. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. That's in your word. And so, Father, I'm asking you to quicken the word to these who've heard it, let them receive it, better understand it, and then day by day, submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, resist the devil, submit and surrender, and gain the victory over a process of time, gain victory after victory after victory. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you in Christ Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Now, hearts, one or two things before I close it down. I told you earlier in the message that some of you don't know if you're born again or not. You're not even real sure how you become born again. I told you I'd help you understand that. Here's how you approach the throne of God to make sure that you know that you know that you're born again. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you're not sure, why don't you join me in this prayer as the Holy Spirit empowers and enables. Let's try it this way, shall we? Heavenly Father, I come before your throne in the holy and precious name of Jesus. I come confessing, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you went to the cross. I believe that on that cross, you who knew no sin became sin. I believe that on that cross, you took my sins upon yourself. And today, Holy Father, I roll all of my sins over on the Lord Jesus Christ. I profess Christ Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I confess myself to be a sinner, and I confess my desire, my wish, that Jesus Christ be my Lord and my Savior. And towards that end, I'm asking forgiveness for all of my sins of every type, of every kind. I roll all of my sins over on the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that those sins are put to death in Christ Jesus. And in childlike faith, I say to you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And Jesus, if you'll do this, I'll be forever grateful. Thank you so much for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you prayed that prayer. You find yourself a Bible-believing church. Go to the pastor. If you're not, you may be involved in a church now, but you may want to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I believe now I better understand salvation. I believe now that I have truly, really received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I just want you to know that I'm willing to be used for the Lord, by the Lord, in this expression of ministry, in a way he would choose to use me. And some of you may need to seek baptism. You may need to say, well, now that I've been born again, I want to be baptized as a believer. I leave that between you and the Lord. Well, hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And in closing the broadcast today, I'd like to go before the throne of God in prayer. On behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation, the kingdom of God in the nations of the world, and for his pure and perfect will to be done in the nations of the world, I wonder if you would join with me and agree with me as I go before the throne with such a prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm your child, purchased by the blood of Christ. I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm a believer priest. I am an ambassador for your kingdom, for you, Lord. And Father God, it is in that capacity and from those offices that I come before your throne in intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. And Father, I'm asking you in the holy and precious name of Jesus to neutralize the power, authority, and influence of Satan in those in positions of leadership in this nation and the nations of the world. I understand, Heavenly Father, that there has to be a one world order at some time in the future. I understand that in that one world order, that the church will come under tremendous persecution. And yet, Father, I understand this as well, that you have turned all of your work over to the church. The church is your bride. The church is the bride of Christ on earth today. We are the ambassadors for Christ. And so I come before your throne on behalf of the kingdom of God. And I am asking you, my Lord and my God, to neutralize the power, authority, and influence of all the agents of Satan in the Senate, in the House, at the state level, in the governorship levels, in the mayor's levels, in the White House. I am asking you, my Lord and my God, to neutralize the power, authority, and influence of Satan in the lives of those who are in those positions of authority in those offices we just named. And Father, nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too hard for you. And then I ask you, Father God, in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation, raise up a praying, repenting remnant. A praying, repentant remnant that will come before your throne day after day, interceding on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks, Ian, once again for joining us on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.